It's Hard to Do These Things Alone by Electrum Queen. Read by Girl with a Bubble Gun as Brian.
Winged Words as Dom.
Ethel as Roman and Giselle.
Rena Jenkins as Mia, Han, and Letty.
And KLB as Cars.
The LA heat stuck to the back of Brian's shirt, and he breathed out, breathed in, searching for air that might be clean, but it was all heavy, laden with pollution and panic and a little guilt. The impound yard was dark, dimly lit. He didn't have to turn to look to know the weight of Dominic beside him. Familiar, but in a distant way. The way of a dream. Long repeated. A lost memory. So, Brian said, you owe me a 10-second car. The taste of explosive clung to his teeth. The leftover sensation of that explosion, white heat, panic, still coursing through his raw nerves. He was fucking shitty at losing cars, for someone who did it so often. Cars weren't people, and it wasn't death, but it was still a loss. She had still been, sort of, his friend. The low burr of Dom's voice made him look.
Is that right?
There was something in those dark, familiar eyes. An apology, maybe. A lifetime ago, they'd looked at each other in a parking lot, soot on Brian's hands, and loss in his heart for that one sweet eclipse. Dom had picked it up pretty fast that Brian wasn't normal about cars. Not even normal for a gearhead. Not even the buster that Brian Earl Spilner had been. Yeah, Brian said. He couldn't keep the want out of his voice, even though he knew Dom had come from Mexico with nothing but a Chevelle, who didn't have shit on the last car Brian had seen Dom drive, and a frankly comic book level-sized desire for vengeance. Dom didn't blink, didn't speak, but Brian could still read that wry set to his shoulders. It took him barely a heartbeat to size up the yard, elbow in the window of the Impreza that Brian had been eyeing when they had walked in. She had said,
Hey.
Like his response didn't matter in that crowd of clamoring vehicles who had all wanted his attention. Brian had always been a sucker for someone with better things to do. Dom took the shards of her window off his hand and reached in, unlocked the door for Brian. Like that was a thing that Brian had ever needed in his life.
Now we're even. Al?
The Impreza said. Indignant, but in a mild way. Like it wasn't worth her attention. You didn't have to do that, Brian said. Even, matching her tone. Her hood was cool under his palm, but he could feel that dormant spark just waiting to ignite. Hello. Nice to meet you, he told the car.
Who are you?
She asked. And there it was. Fascination. A little awe. I'm Brian, he told her. Even though cars didn't really have much of a memory for names, couldn't really parse sentences, only emotion. Sorry about that. We'll fix you up soon, okay? Don't worry. He shot Dom a look. Just because the brokenness wouldn't last long didn't mean it was necessary. Dom shrugged, half a smile in the bare curve of his mouth.
Whatever, car whisperer.
Brian flipped him off, got in the car, and let her presence surround him. That easy, magnetic flow spelling out,
You and I are going to be just fine.
Even with the jagged-edged absence where her window had been. She'd be quick to get along with, he thought. Cars almost always were. He could taste already how much she craved the open road under her tires. The joy of that first spark lighting her up. Dom leaned in and said,
Stop being such a whiner.
Brian didn't shiver at the weight of his voice, but he did have to bite back on a flinch when Dom pressed his palm against the edge of the window, eyes going distant, mouth curling into something very much like a smirk.
Oh,
said the Impreza, glass sprouting like ivy over a trellis through through the empty air where her window had been. That gap filling in barely the time it took for Brian to mouth,
"Show off."
"Problem solved,"
Dom said, pulling back his hand. Brian took it for what it was, or what he hoped it would be. "Hello, and I missed you, and I forgive you." He kept his breath steady and let his smile carry the Impreza's fleet pleasure, both at the fixing and the warmth in Dom's presence. "Don't be fooled," he told her, curling his hands around her wheel, letting his presence saturate her consciousness. "He's no fun to be around."
"You can't act for shit, O'Connor,"
Dom drawled.
"The hell do they pay you for?"
"You say that like I get paid," Brian said dryly, and reached in with his mind and breathed out as her ignition sparked to life. Brian had driven at least 100 cars since the first time he met Dominic Toretto. He loved many of them since then, too. But there had only been one 10-second car that Brian wanted Dom to bring him. And for all of her flickering, sharp, brittle beauty, it was not this one. The first time Brian heard a car talk, he was 7 years old. His mom had let him sit in her lap when she parked in their driveway, and a tired, older woman voice said,
"Do you think you could leave your toys somewhere else? That soldier is digging into my upholstery."
Brian blinked, confused for a second, and then realized it was his mom's beat-up station wagon. "Mom," he said, fingers tightening around the steering wheel, "did you hear that?" His mom's eyes scrunched up, and she breathed out like she'd just run up 3 flights of stairs and back down again because Brian had forgotten his lunch.
"Oh, Brian,"
she said.
"The car?"
Brian nodded slowly. Maybe he shouldn't have said it. She kissed his hair and finished parking the car, fished the soldier out of the back seat.
"If only you'd gotten something else from your father,"
she said softly.
"That son of a bitch."
"He was an asshole,"
said the station wagon knowingly.
"Couldn't parallel park to save his life."
Cars don't lie. This is a fact about them. Their mechanics don't extend to it. They just get confused if you try, because they read emotions and not words. And when opposites come into contact with an engine, things shut down or explode. They get kind of uneasy, too, and you don't want to be doing a 10-second quarter mile in a piece of machinery that's not completely happy with you, if you know what Brian's saying. So it's easier, if you're driving, if you're trying to talk to a car, not to lie. Don't even bother. This is funny, because the first time Brian talked to a car was the first time he ever regretted telling the truth. The first time Brian boosted a car, he was 12, and mostly used to all the cars on the road tripping over themselves to say,
"Hello, how's it going?"
He was walking home from school, taking the long way because he hadn't been to juvie, hadn't yet met Rome or learned how to fight, and he wanted to avoid more holes in his jeans, the kind that would mysteriously arrive if he was dumb enough to take the short, easy way home, because Brian had always been a dumb, scrappy kid. On the plus side, there was an impound lot on the way home. He liked it because the cars there always had stories, even if they were cars, so a little foggy on what was legal and illegal and the significance of powders that had spilled all over their insides. So Brian could basically figure it out. He had always slowed down, leaned against the fence, craned his neck and face to see through the chain link to whatever new tricked-out ride had been brought in this week. Today, it was a Supra, a flashy green 76 with lightning bolts all along her sides.
"Hey,"
she whistled.
"What's up, kid?"
Twin headlights flashed, a wink, a smile. It was easy, automatic, not a conscious decision, but smoother for it. A matter of moments to climb easy over the chain link, sneakers smacking into the concrete as he let gravity take over. Boom.
"Want to go for a ride?"
"Hell yeah," he said. Tried the door handle. Unlocked, duh. It was a little short for the driver's seat, but he made it work. It stretched out like he was chewing gum on the bottom of a deck. She said,
"Hand on the clutch, hand on the wheel, foot on the gas. You know how to do this, right?"
She didn't sound like she cared either way. Brian could respect that. "Nope," Brian said, too psyched to be terrified, and put his foot down. Holy shit! It was like... It took Brian approximately 0.5 of a second to realize he never wanted to do anything else ever again. That he never, ever wanted to get out of the car, never wanted to take his hands off the wheel. That first spark of the ignition. Jesus, he didn't even need to breathe. Not when there was gasoline in his veins like adrenaline pumping through the whole of him. Through the whole of them. God, he could do this forever. Would do this forever if nobody stopped him. They lasted 20 minutes on the road. Brian's hands white-knuckled, the super whooping in his ears. It was Brian's first strike. They told him, no repeats. The cop car home whispering,
"I'm sorry about all of this."
His mom cried, said something about Brian taking after his dad. He sat very still, promised it had been a stupid, stupid mistake, and thought about the way the Supra had settled under his skin. The next day, a skyline murmured,
"Hello."
That time, he didn't get caught.
"You're always getting in trouble over females,"
Rome said, sweeping one arm through the air expansively, shoving a half-eaten pot brownie into Brian's face.
"Save some for the cars, Bri."
Brian pushed the brownie into Rome's mouth to shut him up, but it wasn't like Rome could talk to them. Rome couldn't really know all cars had female voices, or that all Brian's stories really, when it came down to it, were about engines that said his name in a low, sweet purr. If Brian ever compared Dominic Toretto to a super out loud, Dom would punch him in the face, no question, and the offense would only be half-faked. Dom takes "Buy American" seriously. Dom's a Detroit muscle guy, and it makes sense because that's how Dom is. Steady, brutal, fast, with a whole lot of weight to him. Not just physical, but mental, emotional. Dom keeps you responsible for your shit, and Brian's never met a muscle car that let him get away with anything yet. When he was off duty, Tanner drove a 74 Gran Torino. Nothing like the engine Brian would have put in her, but it didn't stop her quietly disapproving of the way Brian made her driver's hands get sweaty and too tense on her gears. Brian pointed out that Tanner liked him well enough, and it wasn't a lie. She flickered her taillights twice like an annoyed horse and had to let him sit in her passenger seat, even though she vibrated on happiness every time Tanner brought him dinner, attempting to be the father it was too late for Brian to have. Muscle cars are, as a rule, pretty quiet. They're intense, unrelenting. They don't like to race unless they're pretty fucking sure they'll win. Not like imports. Imports are down to get beat up, thrown around for the hell of it. Imports don't really have the attention spans for anything resembling loyalty. Muscle cars take risks, sure, but only for a good reason. Only for the sake of something more important. They'll fucking cheat like hell, though. They'll do anything to win. They're stupid about control. With an import, you can sit back, take charge if you need to, let her run the show for a while. If you're driving a muscle, you're not sharing. It's either her or you. And if it's you, you gotta run that show, because she's probably not letting you in if she doesn't respect you. Brian doesn't think there's a gearhead alive who can look at Dominic Toretto, look at the charger, and be even a little surprised. Still, Dom's clear kinship with muscle cars aside, Brian can't really think of him without thinking of the first time he sat in that Supra, the first time he put his foot down and the pedal touched metal and she roared to life, that first time he realized he was alive. The first time they raced, he and the Eclipse against Dom in that gorgeous, mean RX-7, there had been nobody else in the world. Just the two of them, Brian and his car out of control, chasing that impossible, beautiful dream of leaving Dominic Toretto in their exhaust. They had been so outmatched, and they hadn't even know it. She'd whooped after, delighted despite everything. It had been so beautiful, that chase, that speed. Being around Dom even now, 6 years later, is like that. Addictive, dangerous. Dom makes Brian reckless, turns up the volume on parts of him that don't care about winning or losing, because it's in the attempt that the truth of things comes out. And Brian, for someone who lies semi-professionally, is sort of fascinated by honest truths. Brian doesn't need another death wish. Doesn't need to care any less about his own safety, but fuck. He wants it anyway. Before Dom, Brian was never big on muscle cars. He isn't, honestly, even now. Imports are where he excels. He never fell out of love with that first Supra, her joyous laugh, that lightning spark she'd sent along his fingertips to say,
"Good job."
Imports, he understands. They're chatty and flirtatious, risk-takers and sweet-talkers. Down for whatever, like Brian's always been. They're the ones that whisper to you late at night,
"Come for a ride, don't you wanna?"
Well, muscle cars wait, patiently, for you to tell them what you want. Anyone he's ever met, even Brian, because, yeah, would say that he doesn't need to be any more impulsive. But that's not what Dom gives him. Sure, being around Dom makes Brian smile more, makes him freer and sharper, and inevitably more dangerous, more likely to do dumbass shit in the knowledge that Dom will, inevitably, retrieve him by the collar. But Dom keeps him grounded, too, because he will always fix Brian if he can. But there is a line beyond even his powers, and Brian has not crossed it, never will. Dom brings things into focus. Dom reminds Brian that he needs to have a plan. Once upon a time, a long time ago, Brian was Brian Earl Spillner. All disheveled California surfer hair, still the best liar beyond the four walls of Rome's fucking prison cell. Dom had a shop and a U.S. passport, and still had not been able to take his sleek, deadly, beautiful car out of that dark shed. They, just the two of them, everyone else long since gone to bed, sat in front of the TV, ignoring Denzel Washington ruining Ethan Hawke's rookie cop life. Dom turned his face, and the low light flickered across it, coloring his eyes something dark, deep, liquid. Oil, maybe? That shit explodes under pressure.
"What's it like?"
he asked. Brian took a breath, and the air slammed into his lungs like that first kick of velocity when you hit the gas and watched the meter jump up. 0 to 60. Done. He had been waiting ever since the eclipse had gone up in flames. He had not expected Dom, of all people, to let it lie. He didn't think Dom knew how, really. Dom was like a car that way. He didn't lie. Thankfully, he had better timing than any machine Brian had ever met. Dom let it sink in, turned back to the TV. Brian let his gaze linger on the blunt lines of Dom's profile, contemplated lying, but it wouldn't blow his cover, and there was this thing about him, like Brian never wanted to lie to him. Like it cost him a little more every time he did. Brian put his hands on his thighs, turned the palms up, and traced the lines on them with his eyes so he wouldn't have to meet Dom's. It's hard to describe, but when you're driving, right, it's you and you're in the car and it's all something you're doing. Just you and this machine that's yours, an expression of you, maybe. When I do it, it's like when you're winning. There's one mind, but it's not just yours. You can feel the road. You can feel the gas pumping through you. There's joy in 200 pounds of metal and steel. It's amazing. I can't... I don't know. There's nothing to compare it to. I don't think I just... It's just the best, Brian said. Like breathing out. Like giving in. There's no point ever doing anything else. Dom looked at him, turned that big head and those clear, clear eyes upon him. He said.
Explains how you drive.
Brian swallowed hard, did not speak, did not look away. He did not think he could if he tried. Gravity, he thought, and Mia's light, pragmatic voice. Not even bitter anymore, but just weary. For the longest moment, he could have sworn that Dom was going to lean over. He was halfway there himself, had halfway angled his body to match the scope of Dom's. But then Letty came down the stairs, and Dom blinked, shrugged, went upstairs to bed.
You and Dom,
Giselle says, thoughtful.
At first I thought you hated each other, even when you were working together.
Nobody's commented on the green Tiesto shirt she's wearing that is definitely too big. Rome shot Han a sly, pleased look, because he's been rooting for that since day one. But it looks good on her, Brian thinks. Happiness looks good on her. Looks good on all of them. They should have picked it up a long time ago. After Rio, they all went their own ways. It didn't stick for long. Now they are something resembling home, which is always better when it's people rather than a place. They are all a little drunk because there is nobody here who needs to be on guard. Giselle shows it the least of them.
Massad,
she said once, raising an eyebrow to Dom's wry observation. It had been kind of a stupid point to make. Brian looks at Dom, tilts his head to one side like a question. Dom has his arm around Mia, her head tucked against his shoulder. He blinks, raising his one free shoulder to drop it again. Fuck what I know. Mia laughs, presses her Corona bottle to the side of her face.
You kidding?
She says, the kind of light she gets when she's been drinking.
Brian's a puppy around my brother.
There's an edge of sadness in her voice. Dom's eyes flicker away from Brian to the top of his sister's head. But there isn't much regret there. In the scheme of things, it's not like he strung her along. It was real, what it was. Even if it was a mess. Even if it had still been dragging them back under years later. Even if, yeah, there are still some sharp edges in their everyday lives. But it's done now, long past, and that's nobody's fault, just a casualty of youth. They had all been so young. Brian shrugs, both shoulders, because Rome's head is on his thigh, leaving both Brian's hands free. We built a car together, he says, hearing his own voice from a very long way away. I don't know. That means something. Both Toretto's still. Brian ducks his head because he's never been good with dealing with that. The way they look at him and just... Mia says,
you've built cars with everyone here.
And now she sounds like, fuck, like she's nervous. Like she'd sounded before they went into that courtroom. Like something horrible is coming.
Yeah,
Rome says, because Rome has always had Brian's back, even if he's an asshole about it sometimes.
And that's why we're all still here, Mia. You think we'd put up with this shit otherwise?
Brian flips him off. Dom laughs, low, sweet.
He's got a point, Bri.
There are many things Brian could say here now. So many things he kind of wants to, now that Jesse is dead, and Letty... And things are calm enough that they can maybe begin to process all the things that they've successfully ignored. All that shit he successfully blew off in psych eval after psych eval that he wants. Now, that they're all safe. Still, at rest. He's a good liar. He can do it for days, months, years. He learned from the best, after all. From Roman, before they figured out the only way they'd get him into custody was to gag him first. He's got practice lying to these people. Even if, mostly these days, he lies for them. But cars don't lie. And neither does Dominic Toretto, and that's always been something that eats at the heart of Brian. Slams through his heart like that first spark in the ignition and reminds it to beat. Brian shakes his head. Do you remember what happened to her? Probably dust in the desert by now. There's no meanness to it, no accusation. That's sincere, anyway. It's been a long time, and they've fucked each other over in a lot of ways. Mostly Brian doing that. Picked each other back up. Mostly Dom in that department. Dom had been on the run. She'd been a distinctive car.
Brian,
Dom says. Rome looks at Brian through his lashes, and Brian thinks, oh, because that was probably grief in his voice. Because he's no longer FBI. And if he needs to go undercover these days, he has Roman and Giselle and Han for that.
She was a good car.
There is something in Dom's voice, too. Exhaustion and sadness so saturated that Brian thinks if he looks up, if he meets Dom's eyes, something bad will happen. Dom has never been a liar, not really, not like Brian. Dom has always been honest. They're all good cars, Brian says. She was better, though. She was the best. Mia says.
Brian.
Brian swallows. His mouth tastes like lime and Corona, and overwhelmingly, want. Brian still misses that Supra. She was beautiful. A Tang Orange 94, whip smart, more perceptive than any other car he'd ever met, any car he built after that. He suspects that has something to do with Jesse. Jesse, who made everything with an engine sit up and purr. Jesse, who nobody ever read as competition because he wasn't for the road. That one time he tried forever etched Brian's eyelids. Jesse was a maker. Mia and Brian used to sit side by side watching him and Dom rip the Supra's frame apart to build it up again. Once Mia turned to look at Brian, and there must have been something like in his face, because she whispered a secret for the two of them hidden in the long sweep of her hair.
Sometimes I call it alchemy.
One time Brian saw Jesse with this tiny winged thing he had been building, just for kicks. Just when he needed something to do with his hands. It had been a toy car, little remote-controlled robot that Leon, or Letty, or maybe it was Vince? Somebody, anyway, had brought home on a whim. By the time Jesse had had it for 3 weeks, it didn't look anything for the road. It had been transformed. By all the leftovers that Dom threw Jesse, gruff, like Jesse didn't have them wrapped around his pinky, into a creature of the air, all wiring and solder and fiberglass, he'd found something. Brian had been about to take a smoke. Tanner's concern about his health aside, had ducked out into the back and had to freeze because Jesse was standing there with a little thing on his palm. And Jesse was skittish the best of times.
Go.
Jesse had whispered and blown on it like a promise. Brian could hear it in the way he heard all things with engines. Chirping, joyous, and sweet as its wings caught on the air, pulled it up and up into the sunshine until it was gone. Brian spent a lot of time thinking about it. After... Why would you build something only to send it away like that? But Jesse's smile had been so wide, so true. Later, Brian gave away a set of keys and thought, Maybe he understood. Then again, Jesse built plenty of cars in Dom's garage, and none of them were the Supra. It was probably the combination that did it. Jesse and his strange mechanical genius. Dominic with that intensity he got when his hands were black with grease. Twin to Mia's, when she had her palms pressed against some wound that by all rights should not be coming together. But it was. Brian thinks it probably didn't hurt either, all that time he spent with his hands pressed to her erect chassis, reaching deep for that hidden spark of consciousness, the kind only he could find. The first time he saw her, in that scrapyard Tanner took him to, she was a mess. He had felt that weak, weak light of her, buried somewhere in that beautiful engine and God. It had taken everything in him not to wrap his arms around whatever scratched up disaster he could reach and repeat like a litany, "You're going to be all right." He thought it once, hard as he could. He thinks it might have been enough. Sometimes, not often, he dreams about her. The best dreams are the ones that last forever in that one afternoon, sitting in the sunshine at that light, Dom in the passenger seat, the wind in Brian's hair, and Dom's laughter, tinged with pride in his ears. His best girl talking shit about the Ferrari in the next lane over. The closest to heaven he's ever come. Giselle talks to guns. She and Brian don't, like, commiserate about it. But once, after he totaled a particularly beautiful, particularly kind Evo, she dropped into an easy seat beside him, stretched out those forever long legs, and said,
"You know, the worst part of it is saying goodbye to the bullets."
"No shit," Brian said. Half a question, mostly for the sound, to get the noise the Honda had made exploding out of his head. He couldn't get the taste of singed air out of his mouth. That always stuck around too long.
"No shit,"
she said.
"They're like a part of you for a little while, and then you send them away."
"To kill people," Brian observed. Because sometimes Giselle could get weirdly precious about, like, murder. And it was worth it to remind her. Mostly they let Han deal with that. She liked him too much, probably, to inflict bodily harm.
"Yes,"
Giselle said, rolling her eyes.
"But they're still gone after, even if they aren't people."
Brian sighed. "No," he said to remind themselves. "They're not. Not often, anyway." The skyline after L.A. was exactly what he wanted. Jaded, ruthless, a sucker for Nas, and the sheer pleasure that was making everyone else eat their dust. She liked him well enough. All cars liked him well enough, even the Charger by the end. But she wasn't the Supra. He had rebuilt her by himself, without the flash of whatever Jesse was, without Dom's easy care. She didn't tease him, didn't worry about his sleepless nights. She went fast and loved him because he could get her faster than she'd ever been before. Shit went bad, she broke down, and he didn't miss her. He said his goodbyes, but a car wasn't a person. He couldn't be in his line of work thinking cars were people. And he walked away. That night, he thought about the first time he'd lost a car in L.A. The eclipse. And that shower of Tran gunfire and Nas explosions. He had not been prepared, even though he should have been. And he liked her so much, even though they hadn't known each other long. She'd been sweet. And she'd been excited. And she'd wanted to win, and it had knocked him over, hearing her go up in flames. That metal scream ripping through the entirety of him, knocking him to the concrete, blowing every imitation of cool that Brian Earl Spillner had been pretending to have to tiny, gasoline-soaked pieces.
Brian,
Dom said, kneeling in front of him.
Brian, the hell?
Brian choked on smoke inhalation and heartbreak, and he said, she'd always turn the radio up when that song about the sunrise came on. She said it made her feel safe, like she was home. I don't even speak Japanese, Dom.
You and cars,
Dom said, an exhalation, an acknowledgement.
Spillner, for real?
But he didn't sound surprised. He didn't sound like it was a new concept. Brian said, distant, I wondered about Jesse. He didn't feel like he was in his own body. He felt like he was in the molten scrap, burning out. He didn't reach out his mind for her. He knew she was gone.
Nah,
Dom said.
That's not Jesse's deal.
There was something else in his voice, but Brian was too wrung out to tell, to care.
You're okay, Brian. You're okay.
He could feel the heat of the eclipse's death on the side of his face. Yeah, he said. Her scream was still ringing in his ears, rattling around the inside of his skull. He shook his head, but it didn't work. It was still stuck.
She's gone,
Dom said. Brian could feel his breath on his face. Under any other circumstances, it would have been gross, but here, now, it was just intimate, like touch. Something that he wanted, craved.
There's nothing left, even if we could get her. I'm sorry.
Brian's lips stuck to his mouth and his teeth. I know, he said. I'm sorry, he'd whispered, because it had been his fucked up mod that had made her vulnerable. And she had been such a sweetheart. She had not deserved it. Dom sighed, got to his feet, pulling Brian with him. One arm around Brian like he weighed nothing at all.
Let's go,
he said.
I'll take you home.
Brian thought, I didn't know you were that kind of guy, but he didn't say no. It was the first time Brian O'Connor and Brian Spillner agreed on what they wanted. This. And nothing but this. No external motives. In Miami, Brian O'Connor was no longer a cop, no longer undercover, no longer even a mechanic at Toretto's, which had been the most important thing to him anyway, even if it wasn't him who'd been doing it. He missed Dom, missed Mia, missed Letty, and Jesse, and Leon, even Vince, of all people. Missed the garage and the chatter, even the way that Tanner had looked at him. As if Brian had something about him worth keeping. Rome said,
You look like a sad sack of shit, Brian.
And Brian rubbed the bruises on his face, wrists, ribcage from that scuffle they had so desperately needed to reestablish their own history. If Mia was here, the bruises would be gone already, soaked up by his skin under the light, clean brush of her fingers. But she wasn't, so they weren't. Brian probably needed them, he thought, to figure out what he wanted, who he was. Yeah, Brian said, but I'm getting better. After the eclipse, Dom had not kissed him. Brian had sat next to him that entire cab ride, Dom's body warm against him to soothe that cold that always accompanied shock, half hoping, half too caught up in everything else to care. Dom had taken him home, careful, like Brian was one of his now. Put him in a spare room with Mia in her gentle, careful hands until everyone was assured that Brian was fine. Mia had driven him back to his tiny room at Harry's. Her blue Acura spent the whole ride telling him excitedly how much she loved Mia. How Mia could drive them circles around bigger, faster, more expensive cars. Brian had figured he might as well start recognizing that feeling. A kind of love slash worship that basically only stuck itself onto Toretto's, because he was already starting to feel it blossom somewhere deep inside him. After Rio, they tried to disperse. Han and Giselle, attached at the hip, tell Brian they went to Switzerland, Hong Kong, everywhere but Tokyo. Which is funny, because Han won't shut up about wanting to go. Nobody expected them to come back in love. Except maybe Rome, who won't shut up about how he totally saw that coming. It works, though. Brian isn't gonna say shit. Dom looks like he might for half a second, but Mia glares, and he shuts his mouth. Rome and Brian attempted to open a garage in Sao Paulo. It wasn't a disaster like the Miami one was, but it ended in a weird fight that left Rome's house empty for 3 nights, till he stalked back, dropped his bag in Brian's doorway, and started eating Brian's dinner. Business as usual. Except for how they really should never be in business together. Neither of them had the head for it. Mia and Dom went to Buenos Aires. In retrospect, this was pretty obviously where everyone else was going to end up, but Brian's still working on that thing he does where he lies to himself. Brian lasted all of 2 months. He gets shit about it now, because he was the first one there. He'd beaten Rome, racing down that last stretch of dirt road, but come on, it took another 2 weeks before everyone else was there too, descending on the little coastal town where the hospital hired Mia, and buying up all the real estate. Thankfully, Rome can talk his way into anything, and the rest of them are good at blending in. Their cars don't even look that out of place, what with all the vacationers. Dom and Mia have a beautiful house by the beach. Brian ends up there a lot, like pretty much everyone else. But they all go in on a garage in the town center, which, it turns out, works a lot better when it's not just Brian and Rome. It wasn't Dom's idea, and he grumbled about it at first, but ended up liking it a lot. It's not busy, and they keep irregular hours because it's not as though they need the money. But he gets stir-crazy when he doesn't have enough to do. And it gets them into the local racing scene, so they can spend their weekends embarrassing young punks. They're taking bets on which one Dom will adopt. Brian has his money on the skinny, twitchy kid with smart-ass Acura. It's a good car, and when he gets better, he'll drive like Mia. For some reason, Dom won't race Brian yet. Shit keeps coming up. Freakish rainstorms, unforeseen car damage, Dom disappearing to the other end of the continent on some fool's errand nobody really understands, because Dom's a secret superhero. Brian's starting to think they're cursed. One night, when Brian is lingering at the door talking to Mia's Giletta, he hears Dom talking to Rome inside.
"It's just not the right cars,"
Dom is saying.
"It just doesn't feel right, you know?"
Brian feels his hand tighten on the doorframe. The Giletta says,
"Are you angry?"
"Shh," Brian says. Rome says,
"That's fucking stupid, Dom. If you're scared of losing, that's real. I mean, it's punk ass, but it's real."
Dom says,
"This time 5 years ago, I didn't think I'd ever see him again."
The Giletta says,
"Brian?"
Brian swallows and walks in. He's not lying these days, but this isn't a conversation he's ready to hear. Mia helps out at a practice in a nearby village on weekends, because she had too much time being on call during the week. They take turns driving supplies over, being the good guys for once. It's Han and Brian this weekend, thanks to Tej's cardboard wheel of why the fuck not? Brian is driving first. He taps his fingers on the wheel, stares out at the low silhouettes of the buildings as they roll away from the town. The truck is an old thing. A souped-up Ford Dom found on some out-of-the-way scrap heap, dragged into the garage so he and Brian and Rome could rebuild her from the inside out. She needed to be steady for Mia's purposes, and she's good. Brian likes her. Calm and sturdy. Her constant patience contrasting with the speed and unpredictability that they build their 10-second cars for.
So did you find out what happened to that car?
Han asks.
The one you and Dom built.
There's a suspicious curve to his mouth. Brian knows it well, emerging as it does any time Brian tries to cook something and feed it to the team. Brian says, you know something I don't? Han shrugs.
Maybe,
he says.
Maybe not. Orange, you said?
Brian raises an eyebrow. Han, he says. Han puts up both his hands, because he's not driving, and can do that.
I'm not getting in the middle of this one.
You never get in the middle of anything, Brian sighs. It figures. He can't even bitch to the car with Han next to him. He could try, but it's like talking through cotton wool or chloroform. Sometimes he worries that he can make that comparison. Han's thing is kind of weird. Not that any of theirs aren't. He makes everything quieter, muted. When he's around, Brian doesn't hear every vehicle in a 50-foot radius. Giselle can let her guns out of their holsters. Actually put a knife down for once. Rome can say,
go suck a dick,
without worrying that someone actually will. He's soothing to be around, too. In a way that isn't just what he can do. He's just calm, grounded. The center of a storm, and it's good. Because they all talk a good game, race, as long as they have to, but when it comes down to it, they're fucking disasters to a man. Han is also, with Giselle, the lamest prankster Brian has ever met. And Brian has voluntarily lived with Roman Pierce for embarrassingly long stretches of time. But it's cool. Brian puts up with Giselle's fucking motorcycles, which are like snotty European cars, only worse. He can deal with finding honey in his shoes occasionally. Once, early on, like before Rio was even done early on, Brian and Giselle and Mia and Rome were all drunk, sitting around a table full of blueprints, and Giselle said,
he makes me feel less bloody, like I've just had a really long, really good shower.
That's fucked up,
Mia said, blinking.
What isn't, though?
Rome asked, his arms slung around the back of Ryan's chair. There was a little bit of snarl in his voice. Ex-girlfriend and best friend, Brian figured. He and Mia had gotten their shit sorted in that garage, on their way to breaking out her brother, but he didn't blame Rome for not trusting that. When Rome's exes came around, Brian had to get between them just to make sure nobody died. And just because Mia and him were good now doesn't mean she wasn't totally capable of ending him if she felt like it. Dom would totally help. Mia looked at Brian. Brian shrugged, didn't want to get into it. He didn't really know either of them, not well, not yet. And it wasn't his place. He didn't think it was hers either, really, but a long time ago, she had been his calm in a hurricane. So, she had always been better at emotion management than any of the rest of them, probably because of Dom.
Yeah,
she said, voice mild, steady.
You have a point.
Rome does this thing. He's good with people, like, overwhelmingly good. He talks a lot. But it's impossible, straight up, for you not to believe him. Not if he wants you to. It's kind of freaky, but Brian's used to it by now. And he's pretty sure Rome doesn't do it unless he absolutely has to. It'd be too weird otherwise. When they were in juvie, Brian got in a fight because the crew that ran the place had Rome on his knees with cloth in his mouth. The aftermath still gives him nightmares, but You don't make friends because you aren't scared of them. At least Brian doesn't. He always liked living on the edge. The first time Brian and Rome boosted a car, it was a Skyline. Brian whistled, and its doors unlocked. Rome's eyes went wide, and Brian said, "Now you know how I feel when you walk us backstage for Destiny's Child." Rome said,
"Am I going to regret getting in this car with you?"
Brian grinned, and the Skyline said,
"Can we? Can we?"
3 minutes onto the road, Rome made them pull over so he could throw up. It was fucking awesome. Afterwards, Rome said,
"You're fucking crazy, O'Connor."
And his smile was the size of Brian's, and Brian figured, this is how you make a friend. The Skyline was confused, obviously, because that's not a thing cars do. She put up with it, though. Cars did that for him.
"You and Toretta,"
Rome says.
"You sure you know what you're doing?"
"Mia and me are done," Brian says. "You know that." Rome rolls his eyes.
"Don't play stupid with me, Bri. You know you ain't smart enough to carry it."
Brian shrugs. "It's not a big deal." Rome says,
"Not a big deal, my ass."
Dom and Rome. Brian always thought they'd get along, and they do. But Rome makes Dom twitchy because of what he can do. Dom and being out of control, that shit's not copacetic, you know? But it's not a thing Rome does. Not unless he has to. It makes him uncomfortable. Dom being uncomfortable, but that's not new shit. Not worth anyone getting involved. They're at a good place, all of them. Except lately. Because lately, Brian's been dreaming about a car Rome never met. And Dom's in the country barely, if ever, and honestly, Brian can't even blame Rome for the way he looks at both of them. Like he just wants to get in his jet and not be around. Rome has always had very little patience for Brian's shit, but, you know, that's the thing Brian likes about him.
"You're heading for a crash,"
Rome says. They're in a club in Miami, for some reason risking the wrath of local law enforcement. Han is sitting on the outside of the booth. Giselle is at the bar, conning some guy in a suit out of the details of his human trafficking ring, so that Dom can drive a large car into it later. "That's the plan," Brian says. They might be dabbling in some superhero behavior lately, but that doesn't make them subtle. Han is eating wasabi peas. He chews, swallows, eyes them like there's going to be a brawl, but they're a little old for that these days. Rome says,
"You have nothing even close to a plan, Bri."
Brian says, "Isn't that when I'm at my best?" But okay, here's the deal. Brian knows what he wants, and that's almost better than a plan. They slept together once, Brian and Dom. They don't talk about it because it was before Braga, and it wasn't really about them. It was about Letty, and it was about how Brian had fucked up. But so had Dom. They had missed each other, anyway. Slept is the wrong word. They fucked, quick and quiet and sad. And then it was over. Dom had been out of 10-second cars, but he could find another if he had to. He wouldn't, though. He was in the garage, had popped the hood. Brian watched for a little, talked him through the work he and Letty had done.
"Buster became a gearhead,"
Dom said. And that was pride seeping through. Pride that rocked Brian to the heart of him. "Had to learn to explain to them," Brian said, ducking his head. "They panic, you know? Especially this one. When Letty was fixing her, I had to go step by step with what she was doing. Why?"
"High maintenance,"
Tom said, sounding kind of fond, but also heartbroken.
"This fucking car."
"You know I'm sorry," Brian said, quiet. The charger hummed, too sluggish to be fully aware. "You know she is too. Dom shook his head.
It's not on you,
he said, and then he sighed.
Either of you.
Bran swallowed, and then he reached across Dom to close the hood, lean against the passenger door. Come here, he said. Dom said,
Brian?
It meant, now? Brian said, Dom. The old Dom would never have let him get away with that shit. This year's model almost didn't, but they were all sad, too slow, too damaged to move at max capacity.
Yeah,
Dom said, leaning in, his hands huge and hot on Brian's sides.
Yeah, okay.
Afterwards, Mia leveled Brian with the longest look of his life.
Come here,
she said, pressing her thumb to the inside of Brian's wrist.
You look bad in bruises,
she murmured, as Brian's skin fixed itself, as the soreness eased from the finger marks on his thighs, the bite marks on his throat.
Keep that in mind.
Thanks, Brian muttered.
Yeah,
she said, smoothing his hair out of his eyes with the ball of her thumb.
Be careful, Brian.
Shouldn't you be saying that about me? Brian asked, under no illusions as to her primary allegiance. She shook her head, bangs falling into her face.
Both of you,
she said.
Both of you should be worried about it.
Brian shrugged it off. He'd had bigger things to worry about. Things that meant more.
Dorada's fixed things,
Mia told him. Her voice was a little bit rough with sleep, with sex. It was early along in whatever it was that they were doing. Not the first night, but the second. Or the third, maybe. It got pretty complicated at the end. Messy, ugly, full of the kind of shit they'd both dredged up late at night to curse about. But Brian will remember this always as being in love. She was wearing his shirt. Obviously, it looked better on her than it had ever looked on him. Her hair was loose, tangled from his fingers in it. He kept having to remember to breathe. Explains the zoo you're keeping, he said, wry. What's Vince, a three-legged dog? She laughed, but shook her head.
Our dad,
she said.
He was, you know, he could fix cars. Not what Jesse does, not new things. But he could look at a car and he'd tell you in 2 seconds what was wrong with it, how to fix it. And mostly he didn't even need equipment. He could just put his hands in there and, you know, bam. It's like that for me, but...
But?
I do it with people,
she said, shrugging.
Cuts, bruises, internal injuries... A bullet wound once.
Med school, Brian said, thinking out loud. Makes sense. What about me? Mia's eyes were dark, like her brother's. They had a lot of the same weight.
I don't know,
she said.
Do you need to be fixed?
Brian blinked. Do you think I do?
Everyone does,
she observed.
But, I don't know, you seem like you need it less. Like you could use being here, being with us. But you'd be okay if you weren't. We're not great at talking as a family, in case you haven't noticed, but there's something about you.
Rome taught Brian well. He's a fucking great liar. Oh shit, Brian said. The smile curve across his face, leaned in and tucked his hand around the curve of her cheek, pausing with his lips just over hers. Told you liked me.
Oh, fuck you,
Mia said, but the moment didn't snap. She tapped his nose with the tip of her index finger, and he felt the bite mark on his throat subside a little. Handy, he said.
Always,
she grinned and kissed him. She wouldn't have trusted him like that if he had been telling the truth. She wouldn't have said it about Brian O'Connor. Maybe now, She might. At first, the charger didn't talk. She wasn't Dom's charger then. Brian felt her through the walls. From all that way away in the house, surrounded by the chattering 10-second cars that made up Dom's family, even as distracted as he was by the loss of the eclipse. Even silent, even in that shed, he could feel her, feel the force of her. Deep, like a thunderstorm. She felt elemental, almost, though he hadn't walked out to find her. Trusted that in time, his cover would carry him through to this, too. Tanner asked what Brian thought of Dominic Toretto, and Brian had to bite back on, "He has a quiet car." Because Tanner wouldn't understand that. Brian had never in his life met a car that didn't want to talk. Least of all a car that could do a 10-second quarter mile. They were always chatty, brilliant, tripping over themselves to show off, to tell you what they could do. He met her, finally, gorgeous even in the dust-filled light beams that spilled across everything in Dom's shed, terrifying a little with the breadth of her. Dom looked at her with this edge of fear that Brian had never seen before, and he thought maybe he understood.
"The charger,"
Dom called her, "not mine." That was funny because Dom was the first to lay claim to anything, to everything he thought was worth it. She was so beautiful, Brian thought, staring at her. He could feel the speed of her come off, like a cloud of electricity surrounding her. Dom was gravity, Mia had said. It made sense that this car would be too, that they would act on each other in this strange push-pull of elemental forces, that it would be a battle, even if they couldn't communicate enough to set terms.
"She was the first one I ever fixed,"
Dom said, quiet.
"I didn't think I had it. I thought it was just going to be Mia and the old man. And then she wrecked, and he was gone, and I just put my hands on her, and I knew what to do."
Brian let his fingertips splay across the side of the passenger door. A spark shivered through him. Suspicion. Not hello. Never hello.
"She scares the shit out of me,"
Dom confessed.
Does she say anything about me?"
Brian said, "She doesn't talk, Dom. I've never met a car that didn't before." Dom sighed, looked away.
"Shitty timing,"
he said. "Oh," Brian realized. "Oh, she's your father's." She was silent, still, but for a moment he shuddered with that first impact. The smell of gasoline all around him. Jerked his hand back, away, and breathed in. Dom said,
"Brian?"
Brian shook his head. "Yeah," he said. "Shitty timing. If he wasn't ready, she wouldn't be." He'd never met a car like this before, but Roman Pierce was the best liar Brian had ever met. Had taught Brian everything he knew, and Rome could make you do what he wanted without even bothering to lie. Could just look at you, and you would do it. Only twice in the entirety of their friendship had Brian seen him use that voice. Both times, it had been so ugly, he'd wanted to hide, but he hadn't, because it was Rome, and Brian owed him better than that. The point was, Brian knew about being scared of what you had done, about what you could do. If Dom had that fear of Kenny Linder, Brian figured the Charger's fear of her first driver, that might be something that would stick just as deep. Dom hasn't been home in a while. It's not unusual. He could be racing, could be on some temporary cleanup of the neighborhood crusade, The options are endless. Mia's got a stethoscope around her neck, a raw tiredness in her eyes. She says,
"He's being a dumbass."
Brian shrugs. "None of my business."
"You're being a dumbass too."
She says, taps his nose with her left index finger. God, he loves her. Brian Earl Spillner was in love with her. A desperate kitten kind of love, all tangled up in Dom and the assignment, and the cars that went so fast he couldn't help falling. But Brian O'Connor is Mia's family. And that's so, so much better.
Why now, of all times? The super's been gone for years.
I don't know. Brian shrugs. The timing. There's just enough time to breathe now. Figure some things out. Maybe. Killing Phoenix, collecting Braga, that wasn't so hard. Not really. Well, obviously the part where Brian got beat the fuck up wasn't ideal, but it wasn't, like, unfamiliar or anything. This was what was unfamiliar.
"I'm not running,"
Dom said, grave, tired. Helicopters were closing in, and Brian hadn't even done anything illegal, but he was feeling pretty fucking terrified anyway. It might have had something to do with the massive internal organ trauma. The charger was all the way in the tunnels, but he could hear her. Always could when she wanted to talk to him.
"Brian,"
she said, in her low, cool voice, shaky like his own sounded. "Didn't know you knew my name," he told her. "He's okay." Dom sighed, a hand pressed to Brian's bloody chest like,
"Of fucking course, Brian."
It must have been bad, because Dom really didn't like people getting away with shit.
"Of course I know you,"
she snapped, like people always did when they were worried.
"Thank you."
"You don't have to do this," Brian said. Dom said,
"You hit your head, Brian, but I'm not going to say it again. Don't make me."
Brian coughed. "Whatever," he said. "Still would have won that race." He reached for the Impreza, but she was gone. That fucking sucked. She'd been fun, reliable. Had trusted him to take her somewhere safe. He'd rebuild her, he told himself. She wouldn't be the same, since she wasn't the charger, but it would be something.
"Hey,"
Dom said.
"Can you talk to her?"
Brian blinked. "You mean..."
"Yeah,"
Dom said.
"Listen, just tell her thanks. Tell her I'm sorry I didn't trust her earlier."
"Okay," Brian said, relaying the message. He leaned back into the weight of Dom's chest, steady and solid, letting her voice wrap around him with his humming magnetism. "She says, don't be dumb. And she'll be okay. But you better be too. Also that she loves you."
"I didn't know they could do that,"
Dom said. "Me either," Brian said. "But I mean, has that car ever done anything normal in her life?" It's raining when Dom gets back, pulling the charger into the drive with that familiar rumble. He's wet, and his eyes are dark, and it's always hot down here, so his shirt is hack-sleeved, like Brian's. He and Han stare at each other. Brian knocks twice and slips into the garage's office. Han says,
"You tell him or I will."
Brian blinks, looks back and forth between Han and Dom. "Did you take Giselle's Glock? She can't find it anywhere. She's pissed."
"I borrowed it,"
Han says, short in a way he isn't, mostly, ever.
"That's not the point. Dom."
There's a garage outside Santo Domingo.
Dom says, shoulders tight, stiff. He's not much for tone, which means Han really has something on him.
It makes sense if I show you in person.
The charger says,
he's been an asshole lately.
Sounds like an apology. Whoa, Brian says. Big deal then. The first time the charger ever spoke to Brian, it was to say,
you owe him a 10-second car.
She had flipped. Dom blindsided by that truck coming out of nowhere. Brian sitting in the Supra, playing worst-case scenarios on a loop in his head. Her voice had been sweet, surprisingly sweet. He didn't know what he'd expected. Something raw, probably. Something echoing. She sounded a little like Letty on her best days, when she'd sit and laugh at all of them, secure in the weight of Dom's arm around her shoulders. It figured that Dom would have a type. You got it, he said, digging his keys out of the ignition, limping across that huge, fast stretch of soaked-up, streaked asphalt to Dom's side. Hey, he'd said, and Dom blinked, heaving himself out of the wreck that was the charger, letting Brian's hands catch him as he moved.
O'Connor,
he'd said. Are you going to be okay with this? Brian asked, barely a whisper, because she'd always hear him.
This is what you want,
the super said. Kind, because she was his, because he built her, and so had Dominic. So had Jesse, whose killer's blood was on both their hands now.
I won't let you down.
Thank you, Brian said, out loud. Dom's eyes widened.
Brian.
Brian tossed him the keys, the absence of their weight so heavy on his heart he might weep. I owed you a 10-second car, he said. Now I don't. He could feel Dom's eyes on him as Dom walked, unsteady, to the other car.
Good.
Brian didn't look. He didn't have to. He had other things to do. He could feel the Supra, his Supra, his best girl, all electric sparks and that first heady rush of NOS. They'd built her, all of them, together. She was part of him, like no car had ever been.
You better see me again,
she said.
He doesn't have the right hands for me.
He'll learn, Brian whispered. He'll be good to you.
I know,
she said.
But it'll be better when we beat them, you and me.
Brian,
Dom said. Don't, Brian said. I asked her. She'll take care of you. Dom nodded.
I'll watch her,
he said.
I will.
It meant something else. That heat in Dom's voice. But they were out of time, or maybe they never had it in the first place. Brian leaned against the charger's side. She was faint, he thought. Frail. So you finally trust him? I felt wrong to say it, but Brian did anyway.
Yes,
she said, because she was a car, and they didn't lie.
It took him too long to trust me, but here we are.
She sounded so tired, he thought. She had never wanted to leave Dominic. Well, that made two of them. He could feel in the metal against his skin how much it had hurt to keep that timing right. Dom took a breath. It dragged, hitched wrong. Toretto's fix things, Brian thought, hoped it extended as far as Dominic himself.
Brian,
I got your car, Brian said, reaching down a hand to press full palm against the charger's side. I've got you.
I know,
said the charger, electric and surprisingly kind.
I know,
said Dom. The garage is tiny, painted blue, and lovely. It's run by a girl named Anna, who reminds Brian of Letty. She's wiry, dark-haired, and dark-eyed, and she casts suspicious eyes across them both before seeing something in Dom's face, in Brian's, and directing them to a familiar silver silhouette.
"Hello, Brian,"
says Brian Supra.
"It's been a while."
"She's missed you,"
Anna says, looking right at Brian. Brian moves embarrassingly fast to her side, slips inside, hasn't needed a key since ever. She purrs under his hands. It's new upholstery, but he fits easy and comfortable, like he always has. "You were keeping my car?" Brian asks. He thought, he had looked, kept an eye out for an abandoned 10-second orange Supra out in Mexico, but it wasn't like he'd expected anyone to report finding her. Dom leans in the window.
"I left her with Han. It's how we met. I didn't want her to get hurt. We're still on the run, Brian."
"It's been 6 years," Brian says. "What? Have you been moving her too?"
"It sucks,"
the super says.
"It's boring. I'm boring. Am I too old now? He never races me."
"You are pretty distinctive," Brian says. "Even if... what the hell is this paint job?" Dom ignores him.
"You fixed the charger, and you're right. I did owe you a 10-second car. I promise. She's got this."
Brian's mouth is dry. They aren't talking about the Supra anymore. "Yeah?"
"Yeah,"
Dom says. "A promise. He's not Brian. He's never had any problems keeping them. Though lately, Brian's been pretty on top of that shit, too."
"Ew,"
says the Supra.
"Not on my interiors, thanks."
"Who taught you attitude?" Brian asks. Thinks Jesse for a moment. And it doesn't hurt so much. When he leans the side of his face against the headrest, he can feel Jesse in her sparks, in the hum of her engine that all of them built. Feels like home. The sun is in his eyes. He turns to look at Dom and smiles anyway. Letty had been fixing up the charger before. Sometimes Brian would sit and watch her. Help, if he was allowed. Letty was particular about the way she liked her tools, the way she liked her shop. She didn't like Brian much, but she tolerated him because of what he could give her, and because he made the repairs go faster. He could ask what worked and what didn't. Easy. The charger liked Letty. Liked her a hell of a lot more than she liked Brian. Brian figured that was fair. Letty had never gone undercover in her organization. She didn't say much, but she wasn't on purpose not talking. Once, before Letty left, she said,
"You're going to keep her safe."
"Yes," Brian said, "but she doesn't really need me for that." Letty was fearless in the shop, because she could be. Burns never lasted long, and once Brian saw her drop an engine block on her foot. Wince, shake it off, keep going. She'd been shot a couple of times, too. Brian's boss said, "Are you sure you can't recruit her?" And Brian had laughed, said, "You want Stasiak to stay alive? That shit wouldn't fly with Letty Ortiz." Letty had blown off all his cautions, weakened as they were by how embarrassingly much he wanted Dom back on this side of the border. She'd shot herself in the hand for emphasis, right in front of him. Brian, honestly, had thought Letty was indestructible. So had Dom, probably. Once, Mia had said,
"That's why they're so close. He doesn't think he can lose her."
Afterwards, the world was different. Darker. Darker even than it had been after Jesse, because nobody had expected Jesse to be capable of healing himself. He went to see the charger only once, between Letty's death and Dom's return. Mia was out. The charger was in recovery. Nothing like the wreck she had been when Brian had pressed the keys into Mia's hand with a promise to keep her safe.
Oh,
she had said.
It's you.
I'm sorry, Brian said, and then he told her about Letty. Cars didn't understand death. They couldn't. They weren't organic. But the charger wasn't most cars.
Thank you for telling me,
she said. He waited for a while, but she didn't say what he thought she would. You said you wouldn't let this happen. After that, Dom was arrested, and she was barely there. Most cars, totaled and rebuilt from scratch, forgot everything they had been. Became a new thing. It was not a surprise that Dominic Toretto had not followed protocol on this, of all things. Brian and Mia fixed her. It wasn't as quick as it would have been with Dom, as it had been that time they'd come back to rebuild her, but quicker than it would have been with just Brian and a wrench. Brian wasn't so good a mechanic as he was behind the wheel, used to conversation and saying, please, rather than bending the physicality of a machine to his will. And Mia was good with organics, not mechanics. But she loved Dom and said,
if I tilt my head sideways and squint, it kind of works.
They spent a lot of time together, just sitting in the wake of her bulk. Mia said,
I fucking hate this car.
And Brian felt the charger flinch, all hot metal despair. She's not so bad, Brian said. You know, for a muscle car. Mia sighed.
Every time someone I love drives this car,
she said,
they fucking disappear.
Brian looked at her, at the grease on her cheek and the sad darkness of her eyes. He thought, maybe, he should kiss her. But they weren't children. That wasn't the solution. Not anymore. Yeah, he said, carefully, honestly. Yeah, this time, we're not going to let that happen. He was beyond making promises he could not keep. So many. Most cars, they didn't know about timing. Not the charger. She learned in the worst possible way. She learned from Kenny Linder, and from Mia and Dom's father, and from Dom a little, too. She'd been Dom's father's car for so long, and in time, to be Dom's, she wrecked again and again. Cars weren't people. Mostly, they didn't care. The charger wasn't a normal car. Brian had never met Dom's father, but he'd eat a tailpipe if he hadn't sat like this long ago and told his car to keep his son and daughter safe.
I know about leaving people behind,
the charger said.
I think you and I have that much in common.
It was why she didn't trust him, why he had never wanted to drive her himself. We're going to get him back, Brian said. We're going to change the story. You in?
On one condition.
The hum of her engines was low. A promise. Name it, Brian said.
You're both idiots,
the super whispers. A laugh curving warm through her voice, through the heat of the side panels against which Brian has pressed his hip.
I agree,
the charger says. Brian swallows. Dom is looking at him. Hey, he says, stepping forward. Whatever it is you want to ask, the answer's yes. The air is the era before race wars. Before that first illegal drag out on those LA streets all those years ago. Static snapping through Brian's teeth, exhaust thick in the air. Dom's eyes are so dark.
What if,
he says, and Brian thinks, hopes.
I'll race you. Think you can win this time?
It's better than anything else. Dom's always been able to read him better than anyone should. Brian's mouth is so, so dry. What are you going to give me when I do? Dom takes one step forward. Then another.
What do you want?
He asks. And his mouth is so close to Brian's. Brian could just...
I see you're driving my car,
Dom said, sliding into the charger's passenger seat. It was not right, but close enough given the orange jumpsuit he was still wearing. She was singing. Christ, Oliver, overcome, awash with love and joy. That first crash had not just hurt Dom's father and Dom and Kenny Linder. It left a scar on her, too, somewhere deep. So deep, even Dom's capable, clever hands had not been able to heal it over. Maybe Mia had been right. Maybe Brian had been able to do something. Help, even. That even the Toretto's who fixed things could not. Maybe. Maybe it had all been her. Welcome back. Brian said. For him. For the charger. Dom tilted his head, like a nod, gracious.
Thanks for fixing my car. You did a good job.
Brian exhaled. He could sort of feel, at the edges of his senses, Dom flooding through the charger. He couldn't talk to her, but he could tell how she worked. That she was okay, and she appreciated that. His presence soothing out the minor hurts the chase had accumulated. You know I always will. Dom had looked at him, heavy-eyed, tired.
Yeah,
he said.
I guess I'm stuck with you.
Yeah, Brian said, and he flipped the switch for the NOS, and he smiled. There's a straight road by the beachside. Anna gives him directions, bemused. Laughs when Dom asks her to count them off, but nods and gets into position anyway. The Supra purrs under Brian's hands. It's been too long, he says. Thanks for sticking around.
He did take pretty good care of me,
she concedes.
It was better than an impound lot.
Good, Brian says. And he looks across to Dom in the charger. Dom with his bright eyes and the hands that catch all of them, that never let go. Thank you, he says.
We owed you one,
the charger says.
Thank you. Still gonna smoke him,
the Supra says. And that is why she's his favorite. I'm never going to leave you like that again, Brian promises.
Better not.
She says.
You know I'll find you.
He does. It feels good, that certainty. Warm. Something he can keep inside him, next to his heart.
Tres?
Anna says.
Dos? Uno!
The Supra is beautiful. Has always been beautiful. Will always be beautiful. She hums with anticipation, with joy, with the knowledge that for once, everything is good. Maybe you're right. He breathes in, and she breathes in with him, all rippling exhaust, ignition sparking to life. Go. The end.
Oh my God.
The LA heat stuck to the back of Brian's shirt, and he breathed out, breathed in, searching for air that might be clean, but it was all heavy.
Oh, guys, the fridge.
Oh!
Can we please put that in the bloopers?
Sorry. That was great.
What the?
Twist the knob to as low as it goes?
That's what I just did.
Still making sounds?
There we go. There's more to go than I thought.
Do we want to
I can
start
yeah.
from the title?
Yeah. And do you want to do the round robin again? Or?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you want to drink some from your drink?
Pause. She has to remain caffeinated.
No, I totally get it, but it was
but
picking
was
up.
Was it making a noise?
Do I need to regroup?
No. It was very slightly picking up, but I didn't want it to
keep
happening.
Yeah, I'll put that over here so
I'm not Oh, I'm glad we stopped, because now
make sure
thing is happening. Just going to turn off internet on everything again.
Okay.
I'm going to make some cover art.
Yes. I turn off internet. Not if it clicks, you're not.
Quietly.
Okay.
That's a shaming.
Sorry.
I'm okay with that.
I'm sorry, Marissa.
No, go ahead.
If I was making clicking sounds. I did not mean to shame you. I just didn't want it to click.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, no, I don't like that.
That's that. The hey is me.
Yeah. So I'm going to do, she had said.
Okay.
Do you want me to start up from it took?
No. I'm nervous about being a car. How
just
is
say
this
hey.
Car going to talk?
I know she's a sh-
Well, apparently, like, his response didn't matter.
That's like, dismissive, I would assume. Said the Impreza, glass sprouting like ivy over a trellis, through the empty air where her window had been.
Wait.
I think I said that funny.
He...
So
Dom magically fixes the car.
No, Brian does.
Magical realism is a tag.
Wait, Brian, Dom pressed his palm against the edge of the window, his eyes going distant.
Yeah, Dom fixed the window.
Dom fixed the window.
Yeah.
Okay. Brian talks to them.
Yes, Brian talked to them, Dom fixed it, got it. Okay, starting back at the beginning. Sorry, I'm like really.
I thought it was a secret,
one step behind.
You know? Like I thought he was secretly talking to cars.
Well, Dom doesn't realize that he can actually talk to cars. He knows something's up, but he doesn't know.
The cars talk back.
He doesn't know exactly what it is, so he knows that something's funky is going on. So this is kind of like a.
Because like it's one thing if you're talking to the parts in the garage, you're just talking to yourself. It's another thing if the cars answer back, and Dom thinks it's the first one.
Okay, starting again with that one then.
You want to do that? Start with the O?
I want to do the O again now that I know like her window is being fixed. Even though I'll probably say it the exact same. Make sounds.
I know, I forgot how much narration there is in this mic.
I've only read it like 100 times. I should know in my heart at this point. Is it good? Is it pretty? What's it for?
It's beautiful. I did the charger. I'm going to put an overlay over it so that it's a little bit more emphasis on her headlights. And then I just got to get everybody's names on here and make it all fit.
Yeah, I'm good.
And it's totally quiet. I can't hear
anything. Yeah, I was going to say. I didn't. If I hadn't known what you were doing, I would have not actually realized you were really doing anything on your computer. Okay.
Wait, do you need a second to type?
I just want to type everybody's names. KLB goes last. We're not doing this in alphabetical order. We'll do it in order of people's announcing.
I want top billing, damn it!
You got it!
Yeah.
You deserve it.
My name isn't Lights, man!
Okay.
I should tell her. I'm having New York meeting people I met on the internet. Oh my god. She would drive up here herself. Okay. Into a creature of the air. All wiring and solder and fiberglass.
Solder.
Thank you. I don't know stuff.
No, that's one of the ones
that's
that, like,
the
if
worst
you don't...
word in the English language. It's not spelled like it sounds at all.
English is cruel. Brian thinks it probably didn't hurt either. All that time he spent with his hands pressed to erect chassis.
Jesse.
Thank you.
I don't know that word.
Yeah. Look at you.
We're learning today.
Like the word chamois. That's spelled C-H-A-M-O-I-S.
English is so mean.
Wait, that's how you say that word?
It's called a chamois. Yeah.
English that's is so mean.
It's so inconsiderate.
We've paused. That dog. Can we hear that on the track?
Like barely.
Okay.
It's atmospheric because they're supposed to be like in like a neighborhood. Yeah.
We can hear stuff a little bit more than I'm hearing it because we're probably going to turn the volume up a little bit, so we might hear it a bit more. But I don't think it's going to be.
I've done podcasts with neighbors. Kind of, you can hear. Yeah.
The thing is, we're not doing a ton of retakes, so it's all going to be pretty smooth.
True.
Okay.
Quick question. Mm-hmm. All right, so I did the cover with the Charger,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of the story has been about Brian's Supra. So do you want me to do one with the Supra?
I feel like the
Since
whole
she's
story
the, is about the Supra. It's a love story to the Supra. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I like either one.
I mean, okay. The pairing so far is Brian's
yeah, it's,
Supra.
It's very dynamic with the fog and everything.
If you could have
but if I can
car.
Do, yeah, I think I'm going
to
do one.
Looking
but.
Ahead to the end, the last paragraph is about the Supra, so
okay.
It's not going to stop.
It's
on the other hand, nobody's going to know what a Supra is.
I mean,
like there's maybe one out of ten.
I have
maybe.
There's a fan thing where you can download the specs of all of the engines of all of the cars.
Fast and the Furious
in the
fans do not play.
So I do have that saved on my laptop.
Fast and the Furious fans do not. It's kind of like how when you get into hockey pairings and you learn hockey. You don't really need to, but you do. It's fun. Okay. We're like halfway done.
We are less than halfway done, and it has been 51 minutes.
But it's beautiful, and I really like the melodic tone that you're taking for this.
Yeah,
and also,
nothing else.
Hot damn, look at this baby.
That is I don't even like. No, it's just.
That's right. We're going to make her shiny.
I'm having increasingly more feelings about this car as we read, like, hours worth of description.
Welcome to Fast and Furious.
She is the car that, at the very end of the movie, when the cops are closing in and they're about to get Dom,
he gives
that
the
he
keys.
Gives to Dom to get away. And then she gets totaled.
Yes. I'm congested a little.
Also, we're like halfway down the page, but I think the second half is going to go faster because there's more dialogue.
Okay.
Yay, dialogue.
It's going. I'm excited for dialogue too.
I mean, I've been really enjoying, like, you know, how we're going, but variety is also good.
Yes.
Okay. Kind of am hoping cars don't talk much because it turns out that that's hard.
You're doing good.
It's hard to, like, in the middle of the sentence, I keep, like, my eyes being somewhere else and then missing.
It's, yeah. It's a very, It's a very good universe. There's a lot happening.
Okay. Yeah.
I have a lot of feelings.
I had a feeling too.
That's why we love this fandom. So many feelings all the time. Just all the feelings. How's the cover art going? Is it sexy?
I want to zoom in a little bit so it's a better shot of the Supra's headlights.
It's coming along beautiful.
It's sexy. Okay.
Wait,
I'm letting
her
sipping. Yeah, I'm letting the sipping occur.
I'm excited because there's a car talking scene coming up, but it's also short. So I can be happy and talk and then stop talking.
Maybe I have a question. What happened 5 years ago?
5 years ago was when the first movie. So that's when Brian was the undercover cop and lying to them and first met everybody. And even though he helped Dom get away, still lied to him.
Yeah. And Brian stayed behind when Dom went.
He could have gone with him. He had the opportunity.
Is that why he doesn't want to race with him? Because
he's not quite forgiven him, I think, at this point. He's, like, forgiven him, but he hasn't. He's not ready to trust him all the way.
Plus, there's Dom's issues with the Charger and Brian's issues with basically any other car.
They have a lot of daddy and car issues.
There's
issues. They're sweet, broken
they're so
baby
bad
birds.
At talking. They're so bad at talking about their feelings. Like, everybody in this movie except for maybe Mia. Mia has the emotional health of everybody, basically. She's got the emotional intelligence and everyone else is just like, shut up. Shut up.
Let me alone, Mia.
Feeling words, go someplace else.
Let me alone, Mia. Be mean. Okay.
Wait, so Han's magic power is that he damps other people's magic powers? That fits so well with him.
Are you okay over there?
I forgot about that.
Yeah, I know. Oh, I love everyone
in this bar.
I love everyone.
I feel like, I keep feeling like the more dialogue-y stuff is coming up, but it keeps not fully coming up. I still feel like after this next scene, it's totally coming.
No, it's never coming.
It's coming.
It's never coming.
Don't say that, it's coming.
You got this.
I read into the paragraph ahead, and I just want to say before I forget that Broom's power, that's so cool and terrible, and like...
I love it.
Now I finally understand what they meant about having to gag him to arrest him.
How they needed to... They hadn't figured out they needed to gag him.
Yep. Oh, that's like that one fic that you read.
Yeah. Okay. Rome can say, go suck a dick. Without worrying that someone actually... Well, do you want to say go suck a dick?
obviously. Yes. Why did we come? Hours. Yes.
Do I...
Yeah, just can you start the sentence?
He and Mia had gotten their shit sorted in that garage on their way to breaking out his brother. His brother. That would be a different kind of fic.
I'd still read it.
I'd read the fuck out of it, but still not this fic. Okay.
Can we just talk about for a second the way that their emotional conversation is literally 6 words long? That's all they need.
This one or that one?
Either one.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Either one. That's all they need.
Brian? Dom? Yeah. Yeah, okay.
That's exactly how I like them and why I like them so much. Aren't you glad I dragged you into this hell? So men have feelings and they have such long inner monologues. And they say none of the words.
And then they tenderly bone in the backseat of car.
Oh, the Charger's not talking because she's upset about killing his father? Okay.
Mm-hmm. She's sad. Sad car.
It's like, I don't even like cars all that much, but I'm sad about cars all the time.
In the sad car.
I think you should insert that into the fic right after the part, into the pod fic.
She's sad.
It's like the annotated version. The commentary on the commentary. God. I'm not Neil Gaiman. Okay.
Oh, I get it. You meant you never thought you were going to see him again, so why keep the car? That's what...
Oh, no. We're, like, all slowly catching feels one by one.
There's a lot... This is a very subtle fic because they don't say very many words, so it's...
Do you see why I love this fic so much? It's a good fic. Okay.
It's good. So, it's going to be a good podfic for re-listening.
Yes.
Catch things on
multiple. Is Dom then, he's not that he's angry at Brian for not coming, but he feels guilty about the car? Is that why he's running away?
He could be both.
I think he's going to try to track the car down.
Oh my God. No, right? There's a lot of fic like this where you're just like, oh no. Boys, you should talk. Car's important, but anyway. Is it Phoenix or Fenix?
Phoenix.
Yeah, okay. Dom sighed, hand pressed to Brian's bloody chest, like a fucking horse, Brian. Do you want to say that? Are you having a moment?
I don't know. Oh, yeah. I am. Yeah, I think maybe I will say that.
Okay, I'll say it again. Hold on. Ugly crying.
Dom's car. Dom didn't keep Brian's.
I hate this.
There's only 5 more scenes left.
We're getting there. Okay.
She's driving off into the sunset.
Welcome to hell. We're all here.
All right, lead us out. I thought that was going to make it better, and it made it worse.
Yeah, spoiler alert, Jesse is super dead.
Oh, that was clear.
Yes. It's actually very, like, action movie in the street. No! Like, tragic moment. Yeah. It's fun.
No, just like I thought Finding the Super would be better, but I have more feelings about it now that it has this cardigan.
You'll notice that even though she had, like, the whole setup that you just did with, like, we're going to have an emotional conversation again, and he still only said 7 words. Like, you had that whole lead up. We thought we were going to get a conversation here.
Nope.
We don't talk. Okay.
I know. Welcome to hell. That's the subtitle of this fic.
This had better end with, like, them just eating cookies for the last, like, three scenes straight. Like, it was a delicious
cuddling cookie, and eating cookies.
Baking.
I need a chocolate chip.
Stirring the
batter. Every time I bake for the rest of my life, it's just going to be like, let's get it on,
just put on
please.
Sexual healing. Yeah. Oh, sorry, let's get it on.
Anyway. Brian's mouth is so, so dry. What are you going to give me if I do?
When? Because, no, Brian's real cocky right here.
Yeah, just there. Never anywhere else in his entire life.
It's a real arc.
Yeah. He's got character development right here.
Oh, Brian.